Our second lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts. In this opening chapter, Jesus has just departed from the earth, and Peter is speaking to his disciples and the gathered crowd. Listen for God's word to you. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in his ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all this time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Never being terribly athletic, the process of choosing kickball teams on my elementary school playground was always a painful experience for me. You know the drill. Everyone lines up facing the two captains who are about to pick the teams. In successive turns, each captain chooses the best and then the next best of the remaining players to be on their team. The strategy, of course, is to select the strongest players to build the strongest possible team. As the final choices are made, inevitably, there are two potential players waiting, but only one position to fill. Who will be chosen, and who will be left on the sidelines? You can guess where I typically ended up. The political systems of our adult world often echo the survival of the fittest seen on the kickball field. While we intend the selection of our leaders to be a practice of electing the most qualified candidates, our processes are, at best, imperfect. Designs in which children can dream one day of being president of the United States are distorted by massive amounts of money and political machinery that leave idealism in the wake of unrelenting compromise. Still, we participate in the systems we have, imperfect as they are, because we want to have a voice in the outcome. Churches, of course, also have elaborate systems of electing leaders, as any person who has served on a Presbyterian pastoral search committee will tell you. From codified qualifications to examination of candidates and congregational elections, our processes are laborious, designed to lift up those who are called to office. We take prayer and discernment seriously and work to ensure that not only does the candidate have a sense of call, but that the wider community can affirm that call. The terms prayerfully considered and democratically elected are hallmarks of our church, of many churches, for choosing leaders. And so whether it is the schoolyard kickball teams, national elections, or calling leaders in the church, we are used to choosing and having our voices heard in the process. We use our best judgment to form the strongest team, offer our support to the best candidate, and discern the best leaders. But it is not the same for the disciples of the burgeoning Christian community in the opening chapter of the book of Acts. The disciples had to fill a vacancy left by Judas, who died during an accidental fall, we are told. The 12 are now only 11, and Jesus was no longer with them in person to make the choice to fill the vacancy. Among the approximately 120 believers who were present that day in Jerusalem, two were found to meet the criteria. Now, as a Presbyterian steeped in doing things decently and in order, the first thing I notice about this New Testament search process is that there was no paperwork. You can tell the church in Acts hadn't been around for very long, because if it were more than just a few weeks old, there would have been an ocean of forms for Peter and the rest to fill out. Second, you may notice that they accomplished the whole search, from deciding on their candidate profile, to finding a list of candidates, to nominating two finalists, all the way to making their choice in the space of just 11 verses. Now, I don't think the search committee even met more than that one time. They probably were finished in an afternoon. And most surprising of all, they chose their finalist by having a lottery. Now, no one is reported to have left the church because of the choice they made in Matthias. But although poor Joseph Barsabbas, who drew the short straw, was probably fairly sad about things. As a kid who often ended up on the sidelines, I can empathize. This ancient lottery process for selecting leaders, incidentally, survived for several centuries in a variety of Christian traditions. As late as the 18th century, the Moravian Church was still drawing straws to select their bishops. Can you imagine? But what is most striking to me about this text is that the apostles had a clear checklist of what the new apostle ought to have going for him, a checklist that sounds very familiar to our modern ears. They wanted someone with experience, an apostle who had accompanied them during the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among them, beginning from the baptism of John until the day that Jesus was taken up from them on Ascension Day, which we celebrated last Thursday on the church calendar. By the same token, they wanted a candidate who knew what this Jesus movement was all about, someone who had not fallen away during the hard times, like Judas, and someone who really understood the point of following Jesus. These were the characteristics they thought most important for a church leader. Peter's words in this text also show that the apostles had a clear vision of their recruit's responsibility. They wanted this new apostle to go forth as a witness to the resurrection, just as they did. That's part of what apostle means, after all. An apostle is an ambassador from the risen Lord to places and people where God is a stranger and alien. And from the way Peter says all of this, it suggests that he's not repeating that these men had to be eyewitnesses to the empty tomb. He's saying that in their new responsibilities, they had to be witnesses in their own teaching, preaching, and living to the risen Christ. And because we Presbyterians claim the priesthood of all believers, these qualities the other apostles were looking for in a replacement for Judas are qualities which we, all of us, ought to aim for ourselves. While church leadership is indeed a special ministry, and while being one of the 12 apostles was obviously a very special ministry, this was no search for a specialist. The fact that we never hear of Matthias again in the New Testament points out that he wasn't a big theological star like Peter or Paul. What that first search committee was primarily looking for was someone who was simply and authentically a good Christian. Today we celebrate the baptism of Reed Smith IV and welcome him into the community of faith. Reed's nickname is Court, as you'll discover when you meet the family during the coffee break. And his father, Reed Smith III, as many of you know, grew up and was nurtured in this church. Reed and his wife, Beth, now live in Washington, D.C., and until they find a new church home for themselves, Westminster serves as a kind of proxy for the church universal, as we baptize today. You know, we Presbyterians take our baptismal promises to every child of God very seriously. Today, you will be asked again, do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Reed by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging him to know and follow Christ and be a faithful member of his church? If so, all of us will answer, we do. As he is raised and nurtured in the church, Reed will be looking for people whose example of Christian discipleship will help him live according to the way in which Jesus calls us. He will be looking for people who stick with him through thick and thin, who live and love unselfishly, and whose words and deeds bear witness to the risen Christ, just like Matthias, who was chosen to replace Judas. The baptismal promises we make today are a timely reminder that all of us are called to be witnesses to the resurrection, each in our own life, each in our own unique way, especially as we welcome and nurture the newly baptized into the community of faith. Amen.